How about let's say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Again, praise the Lord. Are you all okay? Is it hot? I think it's better now, right? After, especially after dinner. So praise the Lord. I really thank the Lord for being here again this year. And this year, not just one or two of us, but we brought a whole bunch. We brought how many? 100 college students?
99.
Were some missing sheep?
Oh, Lord.
Praise the Lord. The Lord has really arranged this college blending for all the college students. Are all the saints in Winnipeg encouraged?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
I think this is also a good encouragement to all the college students. Imagine, it's not only from one side, it's not just from Western Canada, it's also from Eastern Canada. The entire Canada, college students are all here, including all the serving ones. What a wonderful blending.
Amen.
And I know they have a lot of stories, including being at the farm, at the land yesterday. But we like to end or culminate this blending time with this conference this weekend. I think it's of the Lord's sovereign arrangement that we could end with what? With the enjoyable Word of God.
Amen.
And like Brother Robert mentioned in the first message, we are covering the messages from the past International Chinese Speaking Conference. And the title of it, the main title is what? Can we all look at it again together? What's the main title?
Chapters 5 through 8 of Romans,
the kernel of the Bible. So chapters 5 through 8, as our brother mentioned earlier, this is the kernel of the Bible. Okay? You see, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and also from the book of Romans. If we look at the book of Romans, a lot of people consider the book of Romans as the fifth gospel, right? Because a lot of the content of the book of Romans is a furtherance of the gospel. Even when you look at the subject of the book of Romans, it is what? The gospel of God. To make sinners sons of God, to constitute the body of Christ, which is expressed as the local churches. So, within this, you will see again in the next few messages, Romans chapter 5 through 8 is considered the kernel of the Bible, okay? Or the cream of the crop, you may say. And out of these four chapters, actually, chapter 8 is, you would say, the topmost or the focus of these four chapters. We'll get to that as we go on through the these few messages. So let me come to message 2 and 3, okay? Our original fellowship is, we would concentrate this weekend on, because we only have 3 sessions, we would concentrate on message 1, message 3, and message 5. But through more fellowship, we feel that it's good to mention message 2 with 3, and then mention message 4 with 5. Do you feel that's good?
Yeah.
So that we can have a full and complete picture of this entire kernel of the Bible. Amen? Okay, so as we come to tonight's session, which is, I would say, covering message 2 and 3, I'd like to come to message 2 first, message 2 of your outline. And I thank the Lord the brothers printed the whole entire outline of 5 messages. So let's come to message 2. And we'd like to maybe just mention a few key points from message 2 before we go into message 3. So let's turn to message 2, and we can read the title together for message 2. All right? Let's read it together.
The result of our justification, the
So let's dwell on the title for a little bit. Can you all underline justification? So I'll continue what Brother Robert said because I also serve the young people. So I encourage all the saints to take notes, underline, and highlight. Because sometimes some of these keywords will help us in our understanding of the word itself and also the meaning of the word as it is being mentioned. Okay, so underline the word justification. Okay, what is the meaning of this word justification? Okay, justification means to make right or to be made righteous. Okay, so this matter of justification, you would say, is a step of our believing in the Lord. So justification is out of faith. Justification is something that is according to God's righteousness and following after the standard of God's righteousness. But justification in itself is not the goal. Justification is just a process. Okay, write down the word process. Justification is just a process for us to reach the goal. And do you know what the goal is? Huh? The goal is life, right? And according to the title, is what? For us to be able to gain the full enjoyment of this life. Amen? Amen? So justification is a step, I would say, of our believing in the Lord. So when we believe in the Lord, we receive Him through faith, through our believing, we are being justified. Or you would say that we are being made righteous, right? We become righteousness. Because in the Bible, even if you look back to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says there is none righteous, not even one. And if you add on Romans 6:23, it says what? For the wages of sin is death. So what do you think as sinners is our destiny? Death, right? Supposed to be our destiny as sinners is death. But praise the Lord, because of our believing in Him, this believing or this faith brings us justification. And as I said earlier, this matter of justification is our being made righteous before God. Okay? So, in the Old Testament, you would see that the Israelites, how is sin being dealt with in the Old Testament? You know, sinners, as they commit sin before Jehovah, they need to offer up a sacrifice, right? In order for them to be what? To be justified. So in the Old Testament, this matter of sacrifice with the blood is something that is very important. So please write down blood. Even in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So this matter of blood or the shedding of blood is something that is very important. This matter of shedding of the blood is what we call the word propitiation in the Old Testament. Okay, a propitiation in the Old Testament, there is this example of a propitiation cover that is on top of the ark that is in the Holy of Holies. Now, what is to be sprinkled on this propitiation cover? It is the blood, right? So this blood, it's something that is very important, even from the Old Testament. But you know, in the Old Testament, it's just a symbol. It's just something that is there as something temporary. Okay, it is not something that is permanent, but it is a symbol of something that is to come in the New Testament. Okay, so the blood in the Old Testament, this propitiation cover. Okay? Even this word cover is very meaningful in the Old Testament. I'll give you a very quick example. Okay? I'll put my phone here. Okay? And I will put my hanky on top of it. Okay? Do you see my phone? No. But is it there? Yes. But the fact is, the phone is there, but it is being covered, right? So you don't see the phone. This is the Old Testament. So when Jehovah looks at the sin of the children of Israel, it is being covered, right? By what? By the blood. Even as the children of Israel were leaving Egypt at that time, right? What did they have to do as before they left? They need to apply the blood, right, on the doorposts. And then what? The angel of death comes in the middle of the night, and wherever house in Egypt that does not have the blood on the doorposts will what? The firstborn will die. But if it sees the blood on the doorposts, what happens? He will pass over, okay? Thus, this is where you get the word Passover. Is that meaningful? Amen. That's why this word, that's where Passover came from. The angel will pass over that house. So coming back to this example, this is in the Old Testament, right? It is a cover for our sin. But praise the Lord, in the New Testament, what happens? The Lord came as what? As the Lamb of God. Amen. To what? To cover our sins, right? No?
Take away.
That's right. Hallelujah. So this matter of this matter of propitiation is something that is very meaningful. And this matter of being justified, this matter of justification is something that is very meaningful in the Bible. So sin is no longer just covered, but man is fully propitiated. I like this word, propitiated. Hallelujah. So now there is no more what? There is no more gap or no more blockage between us and God. Hallelujah. Isn't this wonderful? Sin has been eliminated, right? So now, because of this, God is able to, the Lord fulfilled the righteous requirement of God. You know, because of Romans 3:23 and 6:23, our destiny was supposed to be death, as I said, right? But now, because the Lord died on our behalf, He shed His blood, then we no longer need to die. Hallelujah. Isn't this the gospel?
Amen.
Are you happy to be hearing the gospel again? how wonderful, right? We can just listen to the gospel again. So this fulfilled the righteous requirement of God. Otherwise, God cannot just say, oh, I love, let's say, Alex. God cannot say, I love Alex so much. You know, he's been so good, right? I know he loves me so much, so I'm just going to let him go. Can God do that? What do you think will happen? Satan will accuse him, right? So he needed to do something to fulfill that righteous requirement, right? So that not only Alex, but you and me, we're all what? We're all saved. We're all being redeemed by His blood. So this is the matter of the righteous requirement of God. Okay, so let me read a little bit. I'll read to you a little bit of a portion from the Life Study of Romans, message 5. Okay? In this universe, the Lord Jesus has been set forth as the propitiation place, and all sinners may come to meet God upon Him. Where are we today? We are on the propitiation place. We do have a position, a ground to meet with God. and God has the same ground to communicate with us. Hallelujah. Where is the law? The law is under the propitiation cover, and it is covered by the propitiating Christ. Where is God's glory? It is above us, yet it has no claim against us because we are upon Christ as the propitiation place. Here we are justified. Amen. Saints, here we are justified. Amen. On this propitiation cover, we are the same as God in His righteousness. Yeah. Wow, can you imagine that? Not only are we made righteous, what does the Bible say? We are made righteousness itself. It would become as righteous as God. We and God, here, we and God correspond to one another and are mutually approved. We approve God and God approves us. God justifies us and we justify Him. Okay, let me jump over because of time. Where are we now? We are on Christ Jesus as the propitiation place. We are on the propitiation cover. The law is under our feet and the glory of God is over our head, satisfied. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's come back to the outline. I just like to give that as a little bit of an opening word. So let's come to the outline. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. Okay, go. Justification according to His standard of righteousness. The believer's righteousness
is not a condition that they possess in themselves, but a person to whom they are joined.
Amen. Amen. How about let's read a few verses from the Bible. Can you take out your Bible? Let's read Romans chapter 5. And this will also help you to understand a little bit better this outline and the next outline that we're talking about. Let's read Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. Okay, all together. Therefore, having been justified out of faith, we have peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and boast because of the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also boast in our tribulation, knowing that and approvedness, hope. And hope does not
put us to shame.
Oh, sorry. I'll stop at 4. And then let's read 9 and 10 will be enough. Verse 9 and 10. Much more then, having now been justified in His blood, we will be saved through Him from the wrath. For if we, being enemies, were reconciled to God, amen. Hallelujah. So justification brings in what? Justification fulfills God's righteous requirement. Am I right? And what does it bring about? It brings about peace, right? Through faith, we receive justification. And what do we gain? We have peace toward God. And not only that, we are reconciled back to God. You know, before, as sinners, we were God's enemies. But now, having been justified, we have been what? Reconciled back to God.
Amen.
Saints, we need to realize we have, not only do we have, we are in this particular position.
That's right.
Amen. Let's continue with point A on the outline. Let's have the brothers on A, sisters on B. Okay, go. When we believe into Christ,
we receive God's forgiveness, and God can justify us by making Christ our righteousness and by clothing us with Christ as our robe of righteousness.
Okay, before we continue, can you underline robe of Christ as our robe of righteousness? And underline Luke 15:22. You all know the background story of the prodigal son, right? When he came back to the father's house, right? He rehearsed what he wanted to say to the Father. And after he came back to the Father ran to him and hugged him. And he was starting to say what he wanted to say. Do you know what he said first? He said, "Father, forgive me, I have sinned before heaven and before you." That's his confessing. So after he confessed, what did the Father say to the servants? Bring out what? First, bring out the robe, the ring, and the sandals, right? These are three aspects of the Son being justified. First is the robe, okay? You know, why didn't he right away, as the Son came home? You think the Son was already so hungry, right? He even have to fight with the pigs to have the pigs' food, right? He's so hungry. The Father should have just, you know, given him food, right? Why do you think that he didn't have him eat first? Because this is the step, okay? We first need to confess. And then we need to apply Christ as what? As our robe, as our righteousness. You know, this robe, the Father said, bring out the best robe. It's not just any robe, it says the best robe. Why? The Father has prepared that particular robe. It's not just any robe. It's not a shower or, you know, bathrobe. It's the best robe. That signifies Christ as our righteousness. So what? The robe, the ring, and the sandals. After that? What's after that? After that is what? Then kill the fattened calf. Then they are ready to eat. Do you see the progression? This process cannot be what? Jumped over, right? That's why it needed first to be clothed Christ as our righteousness. Otherwise, we don't have any covering. We'll get to this matter of covering in the next message, right? Christ as our righteousness becomes our covering. So this matter of robe, ring, and sandals is very important. And then they can what? They can enjoy the fattened calf. Okay, sisters, read B. Life is the goal
of God's salvation.
Amen. Okay, because of time and because I have to cover two messages, I might have to skip a little bit some of the points. So I'll just bring us into the important points. Amen? Okay, let's come to Roman numeral 2. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together. The result of our justification is a full enjoyment
of God in Christ as our life.
Okay, you can underline that. That basically is the title of message 2, right? So the result, what is justification for? The result of that is so that we can have the full enjoyment of God in Christ as our life. Okay? Okay, letter A. I'll read it to you. The result of our justification is embodied in six wonderful things. Love, grace, peace, hope, life, and glory for our enjoyment. These verses also reveal the triune God, the Holy Spirit, Christ, and God for our enjoyment. Hallelujah. Amen. Justification is just a process.
Amen.
The end result is for us to what? To receive this Christ as our very enjoyment. Letter B. Let's read B together. Through the redeeming death of Christ,
God has justified us sinners and has reconciled us, his enemies, to himself through the cross of Christ.
Amen. I think I mentioned this already earlier. Okay, so we can go ahead. Let's read, let's jump number one. Let's read small point two. We need to fan our God-given spirit of love into flame so that we can have
a burning spirit of love to overcome the degradation of today's church. To fan our spirit into flame is
to build up a habit of exercising our spirit continually so that we may stay in contact with the Lord as a spirit in our spirit.
Amen. So, saints, it's very important today to what? In the church life, to exercise our spirit. And not only that, but to fan our spirit into flame. This is to overcome the degradation of today's church. Okay, letter C. We have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Since we have been justified by faith and stand in the realm of grace, we have peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Point one, underline having peace toward God. You know, this having peace toward God is something that is very important. As we are reconciled to God, as I said earlier, we were enemies, but now we have been reconciled to God. Praise the Lord. We have peace toward God. I just remember that song, right? We have peace toward God. Justification made by the blood, right? You all know that hymn, right? Now, what? Sin has been erased. We have peace toward God. Okay, let's continue on. Point number two, it says, once we have passed through the gate of justification, we need to walk on the way of peace. When we set our mind on the Spirit, caring for our spirit, using our spirit, paying attention to our spirit, contacting God by our spirit, in communion with the Spirit of God, and walking and living in our spirit, our mind becomes peace to give us an inner feeling of rest, release, brightness, and comfort. I like this word, gate of justification, right? It's like an entrance, right? It's an entry. Just like I said earlier, this is the process, right? It's a process. It's an entry point into our salvation. So we need to set our mind on the Spirit. What does that mean? Like our brother mentioned earlier, which part should be the leading part? Our spirit needs to be the leading part, right? So that our mind would be subject or following according to our spirit. Amen? Okay, so this is the first part of message two concerning justification. All right? So we're going to move into the second part of message two, and this is the matter of tribulation, okay? But we're going to enjoy tribulation, don't worry. Let's read Roman numeral 3 together. You see, Roman numeral 3, before it mentions tribulation, what does it mention first? It starts with G. Grace, hallelujah. What is tribulation without grace? It's just suffering. But what is tribulation with grace? That is enjoyment, right? We are not going through tribulation alone. We are not going through tribulation just for the sake of suffering. Why? Does God just try to make our life miserable? Of course not, right? Tribulation is actually, sorry, I'm jumping ahead. Sorry, I get excited sometimes. Tribulation is an opportunity. A great opportunity for us to experience grace. You know, I thank the Lord. My wife's name is Grace. Every time I call my wife's name, I experience grace. And it reminds me what? It reminds me to what? To experience grace. Okay, let's come to Roman numeral 3. Okay, in the realm of grace, we have God as our boast and exaltation. To boast in God is to boast in tribulation. Knowing that tribulation produces endurance, and endurance,
hope.
So what do you think? What is Roman numeral 3, the main Roman numeral, talking about? Is it talking about grace? Or is it talking about tribulation? Both. They go together, right? So when you come to just give you the example of the Apostle Paul. How did the Apostle Paul go through or experience his tribulation? Remember in 2 Corinthians? Sorry, I'm jumping ahead of myself again. So in 2 Corinthians, Paul mentioned, right, that there was a thorn put on his side by the enemy. And he asked the Lord three times to remove this. Did the Lord do that? No. Instead, what did the Lord say? My grace is limited for you. Huh? No? My grace is? I would even say superabundant. Right? The way that Paul experienced such tribulation. Right? Of course, the Bible did not elaborate to us what Paul went through. We can only guess, but we don't want to say. But nevertheless, whatever Paul experienced, you and I experience in our own different ways. Do you agree? Amen? Amen. But do not be afraid of tribulation. Because as I said earlier, that is an opportunity for us to experience the Lord Himself as grace to us. And grace is not given to us in trickles. It's not given to us, what, in a way that is stingy. God is not stingy. God gives us grace super abundantly. You know, how many of you have been to Niagara Falls? That's like grace. And we are like a little Dixie cup. You've heard that example. A little Dixie cup trying to get as much of the Niagara Falls. That is grace to us. But sometimes, because it's like the Niagara Falls, we are not able to take that much. Do you understand? And that's why grace is also given to us step by step. Grace is given to us level by level. For us what? To experience Him. We experience Him at this stage. We experience Him in the next stage. And the more that we experience Him, the more that He is what? He is rich to us. Okay, let's come to letter A. Let's read point A together. Okay, go. Tribulation is actually the incarnation of grace. Rejection is to reject grace. All situation, all circumstances, and all environments to work together for good.
Which is our gaining more of Christ, to have Him brought into our being, so that we may be transformed metabolically and conformed to Christ's image, so that we may be brought into the full sonship.
Okay, there are two reference verses at the end of this point. Can you underline that? 2 Corinthians 12. 7 to 9, that was the story I just gave you about Paul. Romans, the second reference verse, Romans 8, 28 to 29, which I heard you all college students have recited that. Am I right? Okay, we'll give you time to recite that later, maybe tomorrow. Okay, now, these two put together is just point A. So underline tribulation. Underline incarnation of grace. Underline sweet visitation of grace. And then, of course, you know, you can underline God causes all things, all persons. And then underline transform and underline conform. Praise the Lord. As we go through tribulation by experiencing grace, guess what? We are being transformed and we are being conformed to His image, okay? So I would say that all these listed here, persons, matters, situation, circumstances, environment, they are sovereignly arranged by the Lord. So to refuse tribulation is to actually refuse what God has arranged for us. It is through His sovereign arrangement. You know, persons could be whoever beside you, could be your parents, could be your spouse, could be your children, any persons, matters, could be your school, could be your work, situations, anything, circumstances. A lot of these things, they do not just happen to us by accident. They are opportunities. You need to look at them as opportunities for us to what? Receive grace. For us to overcome these tribulation by experiencing grace. So that what? We can be transformed and conformed to His image. Okay, let's read B. Tribulation issues in endurance, and endurance produces approvedness, which is tested. Paul says that he and his co-workers, God proved, amen. So underline this word approvedness. So so tribulation brings issues in endurance, and endurance produces approvedness. So this matter of approvedness, you can use the example of gold, right? You all have seen gold. Gold, the pureness of gold, is tested by fire. As gold is going through fire, the more it is purified, right? The more of whatever foreign elements that is in that, say, you know, a gold bar is being burnt away. So all the imperfection, all the other elements that are in there are being burnt away. So you could say that for a gold bar, this is the gold bar's being perfected, okay, being approved, meaning then it becomes 99.999999%. Do you understand? Because as it goes through fire, it is what? It is becoming more pure. This is also our situation. Take these matters like tribulation as somewhat like fire in order for us to become perfected. You know, daily, the Lord is perfecting us. Amen? And this is a good example of us being perfected by going through fire. Okay, let's jump to a few points. Let's jump to letter C. We read B, right? We read main letter B. Let's read C. Okay? Along with approvedness, we have hope. Amen. Okay, let's come to D. Let's read D all together. Okay, D. As we enjoy Christ in our sufferings, we are being saved. Hallelujah. Okay, this is message two. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go on to message three. Okay, let's read message three together. Let's read the title together. Okay, go.
The likeness of death and resurrection of Christ.
So you can take these messages, especially 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, as a progression. Okay? Message 2 is mainly dwelling on Romans chapter 5, okay? So now in this topic on message 3, we are coming to Romans chapter 6, okay? So how about let's read a few verses on chapter 6, okay? Let's turn to Romans chapter 6, okay? Let's read a few verses. Don't you feel that reading a few verses helps? As we're going through the outline, right? It's like it covers half of it already. Okay, Romans chapter 6. We won't read the whole thing, but we will read through. Okay, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 5. 3 to 5, all together.
For
Or are you ignorant that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus, been baptized into his death? We have been buried, therefore, with him through baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead
through the glory of the Father, so also we might walk in newness of life.
For if we have grown together with him in the likeness of his death,
indeed we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection.
Okay, underline a few keywords in these three verses. Verse 3. Baptized into Christ, or Christ Jesus. Underline baptized into his death. Okay? Buried. Okay, buried. And then, through baptism into his death. And then also, walk in newness of life. That's verse 4. Now, verse 5, underline, grown together with him, underline, likeness of his death, underline, likeness of his resurrection. Okay, I think I can sit down now. That's message 3. No, I'm just joking. But see how much it stands out when you read through and underline and just see how these words come together, okay? So, message 3, we like to bring us back into the matter of baptism, okay? Are we all baptized? Is there anyone that is not baptized yet? There might be one or someone that is not baptized yet, but I believe most of us have been baptized. So, since you have been, or most of us have been baptized, you know the meaning of baptism, right? Yes? So, what is the meaning of baptism? What is done to you or us when we are baptized? What is done to us? What do we go through? We go through outwardly. We go through water. But what's the significance of baptism? Huh? Death? Burial? And? Resurrection! Okay. I think I'm done. Okay. I wish it were. There's more to that. Okay? There's more to that. Baptism, if our knowledge or understanding of baptism is just that, we only have an elementary understanding of what baptism is. Amen? Because baptism is not just an outward ritual, right? Baptism is our being baptized. I was waiting for someone to say this. Baptized into Christ. Amen. Not just into his death, into his resurrection, but into Christ. That's how we can enter into Christ and how Christ can enter into us. This is what baptism is, right? Okay, so let's come to the outline, okay? The outline will make it even more clear to us. So let's read Title. The likeness of the death and resurrection of Christ. So again, we read this. The title is from the verses that we just read. So Roman numeral 1, let's read it together. All of us okay, so firstly, baptized into Christ Jesus, we have been baptized into his death. So that's why when we baptize someone, when we put them into water, we said that the old person, again, let me use Alex as an example, sorry, you're right in front of my line of sight. We put Alex into the water, we say Alex has died, okay? And when he comes out of the water, Alex is what? A new person, a new creation, or a new being, right? Because what? The old Alex is terminated. No more old Alex. What comes out of the water is what? New Alex. Am I right? That's how we baptize people. And we need to realize that this needs to be the reality in every single one of us.
Amen.
We may have experienced the this side, meaning the being put to death. We have experienced that. We're clear about that. But we need to also realize the other side of being what? Not just in his death, but also in his resurrection. Okay, so let's come to A. Let's read A together. Baptism is not a form of ritual.
It signifies our identification with Christ.
Okay, let me read to you a little portion here. Okay. When we put a believer in water, we are placing him in the death of Christ. This is not only termination, but he will also rise up from the water. That is resurrection with Christ. Mm-hmm. Baptism is not a form or a ritual. Baptism is an experience of life. It is a matter on the line of life. Today, if we have a proper baptism, we would have a proper experience of the Lord. Through baptism, we die with Christ. And as the verse says, we grow together with him in the likeness of his death. This matter of growing together. Okay, I'll wait a little bit. We grow together with him, right? As we come out of the water, we are a new creation. We are a new being, right? So that is the start. That's why sometimes you tell someone who has just been baptized, that is your new birthday, right? Because that is the new birthday of the new you, of the new person. This word in Luke 8, how can we place someone in Christ? It is through baptism. Baptism is not an action, or not just an action, it is to put someone in Christ. In English, it says baptize into. Okay, listen to this. Baptize into implies an organic union. Wow. Baptize into. We're not just baptizing someone. We're baptizing that someone into Christ.
Amen.
Into refers to an organic union. We are joined to him. We are organically joined to him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is something not just meaningful, but something that is very, very experiential. Okay, let me continue on. Roman numeral 1. Okay, his death, meaning the Lord's death, is precious and sweet, unlike the death of Adam, which is ugly. The death of Christ is something we can enter into today. It terminates all the things in the old creation, all the negative things, the sinful nature, the deeds, the world, old Adam, and all the rituals. This death is an all-terminating death. You know, when the Lord died on the cross, right? We also died with him. And our undergoing through the process of baptism is also in the likeness of the Lord's dying on the cross. Okay, how can we be transferred out of Adam? It is through the death of Christ. Through the death of Christ, the old Adam has been terminated. When we are baptized, we are transferred out of Adam. Then in the resurrection of Christ, that person is brought into Christ. So when we baptize someone into the death of Christ, that person has an organic union with Christ in his death and resurrection.
Amen.
It kind of gives me, reminds me again of another hymn, 593. All I have in Adam is but sin and death, right? What's the next one?
I am Christ, inherent life and righteousness.
Thank you. See, so that's all we got from Adam, right? Sin and death. But in him, we have
life and righteousness.
We have life, right? Hallelujah. Okay, let's come back to the outline. Let's read through all these points, okay? How about let's alternate? Brothers on A, sisters on B, okay? Brothers, 1A. Baptism
is not a form or ritual.
sisters. Brothers, we were born into sisters, when we were baptized, how about all together? E. His death has separated us from the world and the satanic power of okay, I'll just help you with some keywords. A, identification. B, united. C, transferred. D, into. E is separated. Okay, let's come to Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 2 says, we have been buried, therefore, with him through baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so also we might walk in newness of life. Letter A, our old man has been crucified with Christ, and it has been buried with him through baptism into death. Underline old man, right? I gave the example already earlier. When we are put into the water, our old man, our old old me, has been terminated. And actually, we will come back to this guy, to this old man, tomorrow. Okay, we're going to talk about this old man again tomorrow. Okay, this old man really needs to be terminated. Okay, all right. Okay, so here, in this particular example, it is through baptism. All right, now, letter B. In the natural realm, a person first dies and then is buried, but Paul's word indicates that in the spiritual realm, we are first buried and then die. C, we do not die directly, we enter into Christ's death through his baptism. D, Christ and his death are one. E, apart from Christ, we could never be baptized into his death, for the element of his effective death is found only in him, the resurrected, all-inclusive one. How about you all read F? The glory of the Father in Romans 6:4
refers to the manifestation of divinity.
Okay, G. After baptism, we become
a new person in resurrection.
Okay, you see, the G brings us further on now, right? After baptism, we become a new person in resurrection. So the previous few points talks about our old man, our old person. So now we come to G, after baptism, we become a new person. H, resurrection is not only a future state, it is also a present process. I, to walk in newness of life means to live today in the realm of resurrection and to reign in life. J, this kind of living
deals with all that is of Adam in us until we are fully transformed and conformed to the image of Christ.
Amen. Okay. Okay. Let's come to Roman numeral 3. Okay. I think I'm okay with time. Roman numeral 3. Let me read it to you. If we have grown together with him in the likeness of his death, indeed, we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So, as I told you earlier in that verse, underline grown together. Underline likeness of his death. Underline likeness of his resurrection. So, A, grown together with him denotes an organic union, in which growth takes place so that one partakes of the life and characteristic of the other. So this is what growing or grown together means, right? It's an organic union of two elements or two entities growing together. Just like how we in our mingled spirit this spirit is mingled with our spirit. So you cannot distinguish. Even the translators in the Bible cannot distinguish whether it's the capital S or the lowercase s, because it's mingled into one, right? So in this matter, the being grown together is the same. It's an organic union. So brings us to B. In the organic union with Christ, whatever Christ passed through has become our history. Wow. Whatever Christ has gone through has become our history. Have you realized this, that the Lord went through the process? He went through the process of incarnation, right? Human living, death, burial, resurrection, becoming the Spirit, to enter into our spirit. That's on the Lord's side, right? And on our side, it starts with His being the life-giving Spirit, entering into our spirit and mingled with our spirit. Thus, we become what? Regenerated. Through regeneration, we are what? We are being sanctified. We are being transformed. We are being conformed. Eventually, we will reach glorification. You see, these two, the Lord's being processed and the process that we're going through today, are the whole entirety of God's complete salvation, which includes, as I said, on the Lord's side, judicial redemption. And on our side, the organic salvation. Wow, what an organic union, right? Where does it end? Where does it start? Where the Lord ends, we start, right? Through His death, right? His becoming the Spirit, then He enters into our spirit. We are regenerated with Him. Hallelujah. Can you distinguish? I can. Just like Brother Lee's example of tea and water, right? Tea with water, you put the tea in the water, it becomes what? Tea water. Tea hyphen water, right? If you look at it, it's tea, but it's still water. But you try to separate them, can you? Once you get it together, you cannot separate them, right? Even in Chinese, it says cha sui, right? It's tea water, tea hyphen water. Once they're together, you can't separate them. Hallelujah. So this brings us to point C, is the matter of grafting. C, His death and resurrection are now ours because we are in Him, are organically joined to Him. This is grafting. Can you underline grafting? You know, a lot of you here, or not a lot of you, some of you are farmers, right? But this matter of grafting is something that is very, very meaningful, right? Firstly, you can only graft. Grafting involves two trees, right? But you can only graft two trees that are the same. You cannot graft an apple tree with a coconut tree, right? You can. They're not the same, right? But you can graft an apple tree with another apple tree. You know, I work for a food company, a food distributor, so I'm I know what I'm talking about. Sometimes they have cross breed of apples, okay? Then it becomes another variety of apple. You know, you have the Red Delicious, you have Spartan, Macintosh, whatever. And sometimes they mix or they put two of these kinds together and they produce another variety of apple. You can do that because they're the same apple tree and they have something else come out. But whatever variety is still an apple. It will not produce a peach, right? So this is a principle. You can only graft two trees that are similar. My point here is that in grafting, we that are grafted to the Lord, we are the same in life and nature as He is. Amen? Otherwise, there cannot be grafting that takes place, right? And what happens to this process of grafting? There is this matter of joining together, okay? The principle is that there is a healthy tree and there is a branch that is not that healthy, right? And in the example in the Bible, we are this unhealthy branch. And there needs to be a cut. There needs to be a cut from the healthy tree and from this branch that needed some supplying. Okay? We are this branch. The key here is the cutting. Okay? There needs to be a cut from the healthy tree and from the branch. There needs to be a cut on both sides. So on God's side, sorry, on the Lord's side, as the healthy tree, he's being cut. What do you think is the significance of that? The significance of that is his being on the cross, dying for us. That was his cutting, right? And for us, we are joined, right? We are joined to this tree, to this healthy tree. You know, if you've seen a video of grafting, right? The healthy tree and this branch that needed to be grafted, both have cut, and then they are put together, and then they are wrapped together. Okay? They are wrapped together. And not only the significance of being wrapped together, it goes through a period of time, right? After a period of time, you take off the spot where it was being wrapped together. After a period of time, you know, these two branches from the healthy tree and the unhealthy branch have grown together. Isn't this wonderful? I wish I could show you a video, but you could look at it on YouTube. A lot of you, some of you are on YouTube a lot, right? Okay, so anyway, this grafting, after a period of time, you can't even see the mark where the cut was. Why? Because it has grown together. Isn't this a wonderful picture? You can't even tell because it has grown together organically. So the healthy tree has been, the branch has been attached to the healthy tree and it has grown together. There is a life flow going on. Hallelujah. This is the significance of grafting. Praise the Lord, we have been grafted to him. So we as the unhealthy branch, all the things that is from this unhealthy branch have been discharged. Have been what? Have been put aside. Has been cut off. And what happens is, this branch, which is us, has been uplifted, has been enriched,
right,
and has been saturated.
Amen.
With the life that is from this healthy tree.
Amen.
Which is the Lord. Wow, I really enjoy this. You should really look at that video of grafting, right? It really brings out the meaning of this matter of being grafted together with the Lord. So let's come to letter D. Are we at D?
Yes.
Yes, okay. How about let's read through all these points, okay? From D to I, okay? Slowly, because I want you to really get into it. D to I, basically just summarize what I just said. Okay, let's read it slowly. Such a grafting discharges all our negative elements, resurrects our God-created faculties, uplifts our faculties, enriches our faculties, saturates our entire being. Okay, so, sorry to interrupt, okay? So, you know, as this grafting, as this life flow is going on, you see, earlier I mentioned about grafting, right? About the being wrapped together. It goes through a period of time in order for it to be grafted and grow together. Just like us, right? It takes time for us to what? To grow together in the Lord. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a period of time. So, it also does not mean that, as we said earlier, the mind is troublesome. So, should we get rid of our mind? It will be kind of unwise to do that, right? We still need our mind. It's our faculty of what? Of thinking. But we know our mind causes trouble, so we need to set our mind on the Spirit, right? At the same time, what it says here, because of this grafting that takes place, our mind, as this faculty, is uplifted, is enriched, and is saturated. Saturated by what? By the Spirit. So the leading part needs to be our spirit. Okay, let's continue. Let's read E together. E. Is a baptism mentioned in Romans 6:4. The likeness of Christ's resurrection is a newness of life mentioned in verse 4. F. In the likeness of his resurrection does not refer to a future. G. When we were baptized, we grew together with Christ in the likeness of his death. Now, through his death, we are growing into his resurrection. Just as only in him. So the element of Christ's resurrection is found only in Christ himself. He himself is resurrection. I. After experiencing a proper baptism, we continue to grow in and with Christ in the likeness of his resurrection. That is, to walk in newness of life. Okay, so in D, underline grafting, right? Of course, grafting. Underline uplift, underline enrich, underline saturates. Okay, and then in letter F, underline process of growth. And under G, underline grew together. Amen. Okay? Okay. Because of time, I need to move on. Roman numeral 4, it says, many were baptized into Christ. There are four aspects of baptism. One, baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Two, baptized into Christ. Three, baptized into the death of Christ. And four, baptized into the body of Christ. B. Baptism brings the repentant people out of their old state into a new one by terminating their old life and germinating them with the new life of Christ and in Christ. Okay, C. How about let's read C together? Baptism has two aspects. The invisible aspect. The visible aspect is by water. And the invisible aspect is by the Holy Spirit. Without the invisible aspect by this Spirit, the visible aspect by water is vain. And without the visible aspect by water, so there are two examples. I'll just quickly mention. I won't go into the detail. In Acts, with the example of the Ethiopian eunuch. When he was ready to be baptized, there was water right there, right? And if you read those verses, you will see very clearly. At the beginning of that chapter, it says what they were going through was the desert route, right? Desert. But when the time came that the eunuch was ready to be baptized, there was water. How can there be water in the desert? Let me ask you, how? Not possible, but only here. Because why? He was ready to be baptized. So even in the desert, there can be water because this person was ready to be baptized. Another example is in John chapter 4, where the Lord talked to Nicodemus about being baptized by water and the Spirit. Okay, let's come to D. To be baptized into the triune God is to be baptized into Christ. Brothers, one, we are sons of God. Sisters, two, to be baptized into Christ. Brothers, three, because we have been baptized into Christ, we now enjoy an organic union with him, which is able to transform our sisters. Four, it is significant. So being baptized into Christ, as Paul used in Galatians chapter 3, is also talking about putting on Christ. Okay, I'll get to this as we finish the next few points. Five, brothers, the fact that Paul concludes with a word about baptism indicates that what is covered in this chapter can be experienced only if we have been baptized into
Christ.
Sister, six, as many... Okay, this being baptized into Christ and putting on Christ, you can use the example of, say, a uniform, right? A policeman with his policeman uniform, right? He is a policeman whether he is on duty or off duty. Am I right? But what makes him carry out his authority? It is when he is in his uniform, right? If he is in his uniform, he goes out, he stops a car. Let's see if the car continues going or stops, right? So this is the matter of putting on Christ. Seven, is it sisters or brothers? I forgot. Brothers? Brothers, we have been baptized into Christ. We have Christ covering us. Eight, on the one hand, all together on nine. Many of us
can testify strongly that we have been baptized into Christ and that we are wearing him as our clothing, our covering.
Okay, let me finish off by reading you this short excerpt. Okay, the likeness of death and resurrection of Christ. Paul said he carried with him the putting to death of Christ. We need to have an organic union with him, living a grafted life. Our old life is terminated, and now we are living a new life. Amen. There is a likeness, which is an expression. This is the death and resurrection of Christ. The death of Christ deals with the negative things, but not only so, it means we no longer live, but Christ who lives. Amen. This is how we experience the death of Christ. Amen. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Amen. To live is Christ. To live in the death of Christ is to live Christ, or to live Christ out. How glorious this kind of living is. On the positive side, we live out Christ in full. We become the reproduction of Christ. There is the likeness, expression of the resurrection of Christ. This is what God is after today. The triune God is dispensing himself into us so that we may become his sons, so we can be renewed and transformed until we are full grown. Amen. And we can be baptized not only into him, but into the body of Christ. Amen. As his testimony. This is God's eternal economy. This is why we said these few chapters are the kernel of the Bible. So we must remember, if we have grown together with him in the likeness of his death, we will also grow in the likeness of his resurrection. Today we must exercise our mingled spirit. Amen. In our daily life, we will grow together with him until we are full grown in Christ. Amen. We will also be in his body, be built up, and grow together in his body to carry out his eternal economy. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the kernel of the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.